Well, hello there, Walnut Hill family. It's so good to see y'all this morning. And for those of you here in Bethel and those of you joining us online or in Waterbury or New Milford or Derby, if you don't know me, I'm Crystal Ellington. I'm the online campus pastor, and I'm so excited to be here to share the word of God with you today. And I don't know if you know this, but we should come into this place with hearts of expectancy. We should expect the Lord to speak to us and meet with us as we worship him, because he's here with us and he is always speaking, and he has a word he desires to implant in our hearts. He desires to change and to transform us. You know, as we lean into the truth of Scripture, we have the opportunity to be transformed by the truth if we let it. Let me read to you the words of Jesus in John chapter 8. He says, "If you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." For those of us who believe in Jesus, we know that Jesus is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And by knowing him, we can be set free if we let him. You know, we're in this study of the book of Colossians. It's a letter written by the Apostle Paul to a church in Colossae who was being very disturbed by some new teachers. And just so for today, I'm calling them false teachers, because that is what they were. They were being disturbed by the new teachings they were bringing in that promised spiritual maturity and depth. But they were false teachings. They were empty teachings. They were empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense. So Paul, in the beginning of the book of Colossians in chapter 1, he started talking to the people about how good they were in their faith. They had learned the simplicity of the gospel, and they had displayed hope and love, the things that are hallmarks of those who love Jesus. And so they were doing well. And he reminded them that that same simple gospel had transformed them, was transforming people all around the world by shining its light into their hearts, and then they could shine out to other people. And then as Paul went on in Colossians chapter 1, he did this beautiful thing where he wrote like a hymn about the beauty of Jesus, who Jesus was, the supremacy of Christ. Christ is truly Lord of all, over all, in all. All things were created through him and for him. So we serve an all-powerful God. This is who the Colossians were saved by and rescued by. But he also reminded them who they were before they surrendered their lives to Jesus. If we look in Colossians chapter 1, verse 22, it says, or 21 rather, "You were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior." This was a description of the Colossians, and actually us, before we surrender our lives to Jesus. But then when we make that step of faith, we can be what Paul says in verse 22, "reconciled to Christ's physical body through his death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation." But there is a catch, and that's in verse 23. Paul is so good. He really was opening up the truth of faith to the Colossian church. He said, "If you continue in your faith," you can only continue to spiritually mature as you continue in your faith established and firm, and you do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that we have heard and has been proclaimed to every creature. This is what Paul was describing. So in that first chapter of Colossians, Paul was taking his time to set a foundation on who Jesus was and who the Colossians were in Christ. But now we enter into chapter 2. And we're calling chapter 2 deceptive philosophies. Why? Because this is where Paul talks about what those false teachers were teaching head on. He does not mince words. He wants to be very clear to the Colossians what's going on and what they should and shouldn't tolerate. So as we begin in chapter 2, we see that these teachers were some people that Jesus spoke about. In Matthew's gospel, he called teachers like the Colossians. He spoke about them like this, the teachers that they saw there. "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them." So those teachers that visited the Colossian church, they were just like these teachers that Jesus was talking about. They came in sheep's clothing, but were ferocious wolves. They came to devour and divide the church. The fruit of these teachers was not peace and unity and maturation in Christ. No, they created chaos. They presented perplexed philosophies in an effort to provide false freedom outside of Christ. false freedom outside of Christ. But Paul, he encouraged the Colossians. He wanted them to continue in their faith. He said, continue to live your lives in Jesus, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in faith as they were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. Paul continued to encourage them that the faith that they were taught in Jesus Christ was the way that they should continue. And then he revealed the mystery. You know, these teachers were talking about a mystery, but he was telling the Colossian church, Paul was, that they already knew the mystery. It's Christ in them, the hope of glory, that they would be transformed and become more like Jesus as they continue to walk in their faith. This mystery of God, namely Christ, was in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. They did not need to go anywhere else for wisdom and knowledge. So we learn that Jesus is the fullness of God. He is the head over every power and authority. In faith, Christ gave the Colossians new life, forgiveness of sins, restoration with God. They could have a relationship with God who made them, and a heart submitted to him. And this can be true for us, that we can receive the same newness of life, the forgiveness of sins. We can have restored relationship with God and a heart transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit if we say yes to Jesus. That's all that's required. And that's why last week, our friend, Pastor Brian Cerrone, he gave us this simplicity of the gospel in an equation. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And there is beauty in that simplicity. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And that everything is the fullness of God in Christ. And this fullness in Christ brings the freedom that we need as people. You know, we think about freedom in a way, a society defines it as the power or right to act or speak or think in ways without restraint and without hindrance, however we want. But that is really not the freedom that God prescribes and describes for us. We need to consider freedom in light of the gospel, in light of who God is and who we are in Christ. So that is what we're going to consider today. What does living in freedom look like for those of us who love and follow Jesus? Freedom looks like being no longer bound to sin and going from death to life. Freedom looks like a relationship with the one who made us and created us. We can be made whole. We can be made complete in him. We can trust that our identity rests in Christ Jesus. When we say we find our identity in Christ, that means that what he says about us is true. Faith in Christ, when we take it and we have faith in Christ alone, it brings freedom. And so today we're going to talk about not just what that freedom looks like, but how we can maintain that freedom in Christ. So, therefore, in light of who the Colossians were in Christ and who we are in Christ, Paul has given us a few don'ts. Some things that we shouldn't do, some things that we shouldn't accept so that we can remain in freedom in Christ. Let's start off in Colossians 2, verse 16 and 17. Let me read to you. Therefore, do not let anyone condemn you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. So Paul is saying, if you want to be free in Christ, don't let anyone condemn you. You know, the false teachers, that's what they were doing to the Colossians. They just knew the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they were saying, no, 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 there are other things that you must do. These false teachers were saying that the cross, the work of the cross, was incomplete. How dare they? They were saying that the Colossians, and we even today, have to do other things in order to make our faith complete. This is so untrue. We cannot believe that the fullness in Christ will come through anything other than Christ himself. They were borrowing from asceticism. It was a world religious view at the time where if you had strict self-denial, you could, you know, get rid of sin in your life yourself. I don't know if you've ever tried that. It doesn't work. You cannot get rid of sin in your life yourself. It's utter garbage, or like Paul says, empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense. So these teachers were trying to convince the Colossians that they couldn't eat or drink certain things in an effort to become more spiritually enlightened and to go deeper spiritually. They thought that we could do that ourselves. And that's what they were trying to impress on the Colossians, this weight of trying to remove your own sin. But then they also earmarked certain religious festivals, some celebrations of new moons and Sabbath days. And these came from the Jewish tradition. So they're mixing a couple of things together. They're making kind of a terrible soup, where they have asceticism plus some Jewish traditions plus a little bit of this and a little bit of Jesus and a little bit of that. They're making a big mess and confusing the poor Colossian church. But Paul says that these festivals that they were talking about, they didn't need them. Why? Because they were created by God, instituted by God, to remind people of what Jesus would do when he would come. That he would bring fullness of life, that he would bring completion, that he would set things right and bring salvation and forgiveness of sins to people who would take up faith in him. They were just reminders. There were shadows, as it says in the passage, or symbols set up to reveal who Jesus would be when he came. But the thing was, Jesus came. He died. He rose again. So what was the purpose of earmarking these festivals and celebrating these things and in order to become more spiritually full when Jesus came to give us spiritual fullness himself? You know, alone in Christ is the fullness of God and the knowledge of truth of God. Jesus is all that is needed or required. Those festivals and celebrations are not a substitute for relationship with God or an encounter with him. But hear my heart here. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying the celebrations were bad things. They couldn't be because God created them. They were an opportunity, though, to celebrate who Jesus was and is. It's an opportunity for us to tell people about Jesus, to show the hand of God across the ages. And this even goes to the Jewish priesthood itself. It's an opportunity for us to see that we are sinful people in need of a Savior. That's what those things were for, to show us who we really are and then point us to Jesus Christ, who we need for our salvation and forgiveness of sins. They can create beautiful and holy moments, but they will not save you. They will not give you salvation. So Paul is saying to the Colossians, he's saying, don't lose your freedom in Christ. Don't let anyone condemn you. Don't let anyone invalidate your faith in Christ because you don't do certain things, you don't eat certain things, drink certain things, or you don't celebrate certain, participate in certain ceremonies. But the same issue exists today, and I know you felt it. Sometimes you have people who judge you based on things you do or you don't do and say you can't possibly be a Christian. Let me give you some examples. Have you ever heard someone say, oh, you're part of that political party, or you like this particular candidate, you can't possibly be a Christian? Yeah, I started off hard there. I'll get a little bit easier. Maybe you don't pray for hours and hours on end, and someone heard you and said, oh, you can't possibly really love Jesus if you don't pray for hours. Or maybe you don't pray a certain kind of prayer a certain number of times, and therefore you cannot be free and forgiven of sins. Maybe that's what someone has told you. Or maybe it's about wine. Maybe you don't drink wine, and someone said, well, Jesus drank wine. His first miracle was at Cana where he made wine. How dare you? Or maybe you're of the other camp. Maybe someone has said to you, you drink wine? Didn't you know that drunks and gluttons will not inherit the kingdom of God? How dare you? How could you be so unholy? Have you ever experienced anything like that? People questioning your faith in Christ based on things you do. And I'm here to tell you, that's nonsense. It's utter garbage. It's empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense. What I'm saying is that any rules that judge or exclude or reject other people based on human criteria are unacceptable here in the body of Christ. These rules can intentionally or unintentionally block someone from finding their freedom at the foot of the cross. These rules can intentionally or unintentionally block someone or make someone question the love of Christ for them and make them stumble in their faith. And that, my friends, are things that we should not be doing as Christ followers. These rules are not the heart of Jesus. There is room at the table. There is room at the foot of the cross for everyone. Jesus himself welcomed everyone. And so we, as his followers, as those who desire to look like Jesus, should be doing the same. We should not be condemning people on our own criteria, nor should we receive condemnation based on random human criteria. So if you have faith in Christ, you are set free, friends. There is no food or drink or miscelebration or unfulfilled religious tradition or ceremony that can take away your freedom in Christ. Do not let anyone condemn you. The Lord is saying faith in Christ brings freedom from being condemned. Let's move on. Colossians 2, 18 and 19, I'll read. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. I just love how Paul talks. They have connection with the head from whom the whole body is supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Paul is saying here to the Colossian church and to us, if you want to be free in Christ, don't let anyone disqualify you. Now, the false teachers, they were trying to do that. Of course, they were. They were attempting to disqualify the Colossians based on some supernatural, spiritual experiences they were having. It says in the passage what they have seen. They're talking about visions. And then they also worshiped angels. And they believed, these false teachers, that these visions and their deep worship of angels made them more spiritually mature. They were superior to the Colossians. They could look down on them. And actually, they should teach them because they knew more things than them based on those spiritual experiences alone. But this wasn't true. And these false teachers must have been so convincing. They were so just trying to twist faith in Christ to fit the little messed up soup that they were trying to create that was not really Christianity. And you know, the Colossians began to be convinced. They began to be concerned that they didn't have these visions. They didn't worship angels, so maybe they truly were not in Christ. But Paul is saying, no. In accepting or trying to accept or even desiring these kinds of experiences over faith in Jesus Christ, the Colossians were jeopardizing their faith at all. They were entertaining these things that was weighing them down and taking them away from the freedom that they had in Jesus Christ. You know, Paul, he was gentle with the church at Colossae because they were young. And they were trying to find their way in the faith. But the church of Galatia, he had something else to say. Let me read to you from Galatians chapter 3. Paul starts off, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you? For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. How foolish can you be? After starting your new lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Have you experienced so much for nothing? Surely it was not in vain, was it?" That's a real strong rebuke. And I think it would do us well to listen to what he's saying, that the gospel in its simplicity, Christ crucified, is all that is needed for life. Your spiritual maturity is gained by the power of the Holy Spirit confronting you, comforting you, transforming you, teaching you. That is who we received in our inside of us when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord. And the evidence of our transformation is not necessarily visions, and it's not definitely not the worship of angels. The evidence of our transformation is the fruit of the Spirit. And we know the fruit of the Spirit, and I'm going to read it to you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. And joy and peace and forbearance or patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These things, the false teachers weren't showing those that kind of fruit at all. They were not receiving from the Holy Spirit. They were not being transformed by the Spirit. Instead, they were trying to transform themselves. Yikes. But I think this is something that we do in and of ourselves. We forget that we're supposed to be branches connected to the vine. That in the vine, we can bear much fruit. Apart from him, Jesus, the vine, we can do nothing. That is what faith in Christ is all about. And you know, in a commentary I read about Colossians, the author wrote, "The result of listening to such people must be a losing of that close relationship with Christ on which all true growth to full maturity depends." If you choose to listen to people like this,
you risk losing your intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. You will still be saved, but you won't have that closeness with God that you should be gaining as you grow in Christ over time, as you pursue him, as you look for him, as you read his word, as you worship, as you read your Bible and study and memorize and meditate on it. That's how you gain spiritual maturity. But hear my heart here. Visions are not bad things. Prophets in the Old Testament, they had visions. God revealed himself to them and things that they needed to know through visions. So visions are not bad things. Paul himself had a vision of heaven. He talks about it in 2 Corinthians. So he's not saying visions are bad things, and neither am I. People today still receive word from the Lord via visions and dreams. But it's when you take those experiences and value them more than your relationship with God when it becomes a problem. We can have a vision, but we cannot elevate ourselves or think we're more important than we are because of a vision we have seen. No, we are just an instrument. We're a servant. God is giving us his message, and we're to share it. That's all that we are. We didn't make the message ourselves. God did that. So we have to stop trying to judge people based on our level of spiritual maturity or even the things that we can receive or we have received through Christ. And worshiping anything other than God is a very big problem. It's called idolatry. And the people of Israel all through the Old Testament were in trouble because of that. It started off at the very beginning. So worshiping angels is not something that we should be doing, my friends. Angels are servants of God. Angels were created by God. And they came to do his work. They would bring messages. They would fight. They would do what God said. We are not to be worshiping angels, my friends. So in all of this, Paul's saying to the Colossians and to us, don't lose your freedom in Christ. Don't listen to anyone who disqualifies you from faith based on spiritual experiences. Well, what does this have to do with you? Well, a lot. What does your relationship with Jesus look like? It's not about the things that you do. I mean, the time you spend with him. Who are you listening to besides Jesus? How does the time that you spend engaging with content, blogs, vlogs, webcasts, books, even preachers, how does that time you spend there balance with actually spending time focused, praying to Jesus, asking him to speak to you, reading your word, opening it up and say, Lord, what is it you're trying to tell me today? Help me to receive something from here. Help me to learn from you here. Help teach me, Lord. What's the balance there? Or what things are you choosing to use to grow in maturity and faith? Are you looking for something outside of Jesus to help you mature? Friends, there is no amount of self-help books, crystals, burning sage, invoking the law of attraction, manifestation that can substitute for an encounter with the living God. Those things cannot compare. You don't need numerology. You don't need astrology or horoscopes. You don't need your aura analyzed. You don't need astral projection or palm reading or psychic readings or tarot card readings because you have the living God who knows everything. Ask him. Spend some time with him. He knows his plans for you. You can see that in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. He can reveal that to you if you ask him. He says that if we seek him with our whole heart, we will find him. But maybe we're just not seeking him with our whole heart. That's why we're not finding him. He knew you before you were born. He knows your purpose, and he can bring you into spiritual maturity by the power of his spirit working inside of you. Make no mistake, if you are doing anything to bring good your way that's outside of Jesus Christ, you have been deceived. You're taking on unholy practices to bring you close to a holy God. It won't work, my friends. We have to be holy as he is holy. That is what we have been called to do and be. One more thing. We don't need to be praying to angels, like I said, but we also don't need to be praying to saints or to other people. God on high, he rules and he reigns. He has every answer that we need. He is filled with love and faithfulness. He is gracious and merciful toward us. That's the person that we should be praying to. So all I'm saying is that there is no substitute for Jesus. And what the Lord placed on my heart this morning, and I was praying that I would remember, and now I do, is that we don't need to be Frankensteining our faith. Meaning, we don't need to take a little bit of this and a little bit of this and then try to hold it all up and say that we're in Christ. The simplicity of the gospel is it seems too good to be true, but it's true. It's not too good to be true. We don't need to carry all this other things that we think we need to do to prove ourselves and prove our faith. Those are things that we need to just go ahead and let it go, my friends. The Lord is saying faith in Christ will keep you from being disqualified as long as you don't pick up other things to try to prove your faith or improve your faith. Let's move on to the last section. It says in verses 20 to 23, since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use, are based merely on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Paul is screaming, don't you know who you are? If you want to be free in Christ, you must find your identity in him alone. It just did not make sense to him. In Christ, the Colossians were made new. They had passed from death to life. They had peace with God, and they were walking in restored relationship with him. They had been set free from the consequences of sin, yet they were determined to listen to these false teachers who only wanted to weigh them down with garbage, to take away their freedom based on rules and create a religion of a kind of a terrible religious soup, like I said before. They wanted to weigh them down. If the Colossians only knew who they were, if the knowledge of who they were in Christ had only gone from their head to their heart, they would have seen how ridiculous it is to try to go further in Jesus without Jesus, to find spiritual maturity outside of Christ, to have their own rules, to bring their own salvation. It just doesn't make sense. And Paul was saying, don't you know who you are? Don't you know your true identity? Don't you know that you are complete in Christ? And God is saying to you today, faith in Christ brings freedom for you to find, to discover your own identity in Christ alone. In Christ, you are a child of God. You are the workmanship of God. You are a friend of God. You were chosen before the foundation of the world. You are beloved and a precious jewel. You've been adopted into Christ's family. You've been justified freely by the grace of God. You are a recipient of great and precious promises. You are complete in Christ. You've been made for his use. You are loved eternally, the head and not the tail, a citizen of heaven, more than a conqueror, and you cannot be separated from his love. Is that not enough? It's enough. That is where you find your identity in Christ. Faith in Christ brings freedom. Freedom from condemnation, freedom from disqualification, and freedom for you to find out who you truly are. And we must know. We must be free. Why? Because we are responsible. We are responsible for sharing the faith in the gospel. We are responsible for sharing this faith to people who are walking in bondage. We need to be setting people free, friends. We don't come here to feel good and be filled up and do nothing with it. We have to go out and make disciples. Jesus told us this in Matthew's gospel. If we believe the lies from the enemy that we need more things, more devotion, more those certain things that we have to do, more eating, not eating certain things, doing certain things. If we believe those lies of the enemy, we condemn and disqualify ourselves from freedom in Christ. We don't want to do that. We want to be free. I don't know about you, but I want to be free. I was praying for y'all that we would all be free today when we leave this place. So my question for you is, are you living in freedom? Are you free? There's lots of different things that could be weighing you down. First, if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, you're holding the weight of sin and shame and guilt and fear and condemnation and looking for love in all the wrong places, trying to figure out who you are. You're carrying a burden that you can release at the foot of the cross. Say yes to Jesus today. Or maybe you've said yes to Jesus, but you've picked up some things. Life has been lifing. People have condemned you. People have rejected you. You feel like you got to prove things, that you got to be stronger, better, more devoted, more whatever. People have put on an identity on you that is not of God. I'm telling you today, friends, be free. Find your identity in Christ. Lay it down. Or maybe you have a desire in your heart to be more spiritually mature. That's a good desire. The Lord planted that there. But if you use other things to fill that void that only Jesus would fill, you're going to find yourself in a heap of trouble carrying more and more things. I just imagine people with all your Target bags, you know, when you don't want to make two trips, carrying your bags like that. Let it go. Fill your life with Jesus. Take time in your word. Read it, study it, memorize it, pray. Come to worship. Worship at home and not on Sundays, friends. This is what it looks like to pursue the Lord so that you can become more spiritually mature. This is who we should be in Christ. We need to be becoming more like him. That's all of our goals. It should be all of our goals. All of us have something we need to do today. Sometime, maybe for us, we need to be more serious. That we serve the Savior of the universe. We need to seek him and find him as we look for him with our whole heart. That we need to be committed to prayer and to fasting and to reading our word, not in a way that we're creating checklists or thinking that we will save ourselves with these things, but acknowledging that these things help us to sit with the Lord and draw close to him and hear from him and be transformed by his spirit and his power and his presence. We all need to do something today, my friends. So I pray, friends, that you would remember that faith in Christ alone brings freedom, that it brings you freedom from being condemned, it brings you freedom from being disqualified, and it brings you freedom to discover your true identity in Christ.